This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So, we've agreed so far that we're going to come into Salah bringing our mind and attention so that it doesn't drift outside of the parameters of Salah. We've also agreed that we're going to make an effort to understand the dynamics of the Salah, the ins and outs of the Salah, the wisdoms behind the movements, the numberings, the statements of Salah. And then we added the first of the four layers. What were they? Well, the first of the three layers. What was the first? The layer of? Huh? No, we said this one. The layer of? Hope. Raja. To come into Salah with hands spread forth, having hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you will not end the salah only after He has filled your hands with everything that you need and fulfilled your ambitions and forgiven your sins. And then we added another layer to our khushu'ah, our attentiveness to our salah. What was the one after that? Huh? Say it again. Ah, this is weeks ago, yeah. We're going back. Fear. Yeah. The element of khashiyah and khawf, yeah. To have fear of Allah. To come into salah in a state of trepidation, having recognized who Allah al-Aziz, al-Jabbar, al-Malik, the King, the Sovereign is. Fear. And then in the last week, we covered yet another layer. We said we will come into salah with the dimension of mahabbah, yeah? Of the love of Allah Jalla Jalaluh. So we said again, to focus, to keep your mind in salah, number one, and then to try to understand the salah, number two, and then to have hope in Allah, number three, and then to fear Allah, number four, to have love of Allah Almighty, number five. Now we're ready to start investigating the salah itself and the surrounding features of salah. Now that you have set the scene, and if you're able to apply what you've learned so far, you've set yourself up in a good place to enjoy your salah and to experience this treasure of khushu'ah that we're trying to understand and develop. We want to speak about several aspects in the build-up to a salah. The first of them is the aspect of wudu. Right? Looking at the floor in the bathroom just now when I went in, it seems that everyone in the country has done wudu in our bathroom over there. But how many people have experienced the joy of wudu? Now, anything in life, when you do it over and over again, it runs the risk of becoming a little bit boring, mundane, and chore-like. Not just the salah, even the things that lead up to salah and the things that happen after salah, your dhikr, etc. Wudu is one of them. The pre-prayer washing. Yet there are many miraculous dimensions of wudu, and it would be a shame to allow any more wudu of your life to pass by without understanding them and experiencing them. We want to walk out of the masjid today having transformed the experience of wudu from something mundane or boring into something that really sets the scene for your salah, wudu. And the stores of reward are many, and there are small tweaks and adjustments that are required to unlock them. And one of those tweaks and adjustments is the mindset, or if you wish, we can call it the niyyah, the intention. Don't waste the opportunity by simply coming into your wudu with a unilateral intention, with a one-dimensional approach, which is istibahatu salah. You do your wudu with no intention other than to make your salah permissible. So you see wudu as just a necessary thing that you have to do, because you recognize that there is no salah without wudu. You see it as a wasila ila ghaya. It's just a means to an end. It's a vehicle that takes me to salah without actually focusing on the vehicle called wudu. Right? So it's about the niyyah. We want to add many niyyahs to this wudu. And that's why in our understanding as Muslims, the scholars have said, Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak being the scholar here, he said, رُبَّ عَمَلٍ صَغِيرٍ تُعَظِّمُهُ النِّيَّةِ وَرُبَّ عَمَلٍ كَبِيرٍ تُحَقِّرُهُ النِّيَّةِ. There could be a small action. By its nature, it is small, but the intention amplifies it. And there may be, he said, something that is huge in terms of a deed, but the intention diminishes it. It's about the heart. So two people will carry out wudu, and the reward between them in terms of the differential is like the difference between the heavens and the earth. It goes back to the state of their hearts as they were carrying out their wudu. And perhaps I've told you before that one of my teachers, he said to me that when we were in Yemen, somebody knocked on the door. He said, I got up to respond to the caller. Teacher said to me, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to open the door. He said, that's it? I said, yeah, that's it. He said, all right, you sit down, I'll open the door. So he went and he opened the door. And then he sat back down. He said, you had only one intention when you said you wanted to open the door. As for me, I intended to walk towards the need of my brother who was standing in the scorching heat. This is, inshallah, a sunnah. And I intended to smile at the face of my brother. This, inshallah, is a sunnah. Then I wanted to put my right hand into his right hand and greet him, as is the sunnah. Then I wanted to smile in his face. This is, of course, a sunnah. I wanted to give him the greetings of salam. This is a sunnah. Then I wanted to bring him into my home, and this is a sunnah. And I wanted to honor my guest, and this is a sunnah. And I wanted to create space in the gathering for him. تَفَسْتَحُوا فِي الْمَجَالِسِ يَفْسَحُوا تَفَسْتَحُوا يَفْسَحِ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Make space. Allah makes space for you. This is also a sunnah. And he said he listed around 40 intentions behind the opening of that door. So the intention, as the scholars, they say, it is tijaratul ulama. It is the commodity which the scholars trade with. They trade. We trade with pound and dollar. They trade with what? They trade with the intentions, because they recognize small actions become huge by way of intention. Same thing about wudu. You can come into your wudu with one niyyah. Jazakallah khair, salah becomes permissible. Okay, fair enough. But add other intentions to it. For your next wudu, add the intention of, yes, istibahatu salah, to make the prayer permissible. Number one, excellent. Number two, add another intention. What could it be? I intend to carry out the instructions of wudu that were instructed by Allah in the Quran. Chapter 5. He said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْ يُهُ بِلِيفْ إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ. When you get up to pray, do your wudu. My niyyah is to carry out Allah's instruction in the Quran. That's another intention. Number three, my intention behind this wudu is to follow the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and how he taught us to make the detailed wudu. This is another niyyah. صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي. He said, pray as you've seen me pray, which includes the wudu. That's another intention. Add that to bring up the value of your wudu a notch. And then make another intention. My niyyah is to erase the sins that I've committed with my eyes, and committed with my ears, and committed with my face, committed with my hands and feet when I carry out the wudu. And I'm going to share with you amazing hadith about this in a moment. That's niyyah number four. Niyyah number five. My intention behind my wudu is to give myself a source of light on the day of judgment, that is by its nature a day of bleak darkness. Wudu is a means of bringing you a torch that you need on that day of darkness. Quick exercise, and you notice there are so many nawaya, intentions, you can plug into your wudu to transform it from something that gets you to salah into something that gets you to much higher places, which include the salah and more. What does the wudu of Islam look like? You have the obligatory wudu, your no-frills version of wudu, your basic wudu. The fundamental components are mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5. What are they? Very simple. إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ, when you get up to pray, فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ, wash your faces, وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ, and your arms until your elbows, وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ, and wipe your heads, وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ, and wash your feet until the ankles. That's your standard wudu, your basic wudu to get you to salah. But if you want the higher version, with all of the add-ons and all of the extra features of wudu, all of the sunan involved, then look at the works of the fuqaha and what they've understood from the sunnah, and you see
a different type of wudu. This that you just heard and more. What is your wudu? Very basically speaking and quickly, because I know much of you are, or many of you are aware of this. You intend to make the salah permissible. We've spoken about this a moment ago. The niyyah. وَالنِيَّةُ مَحَلُّهَا الْقَلْبِ. The place of the intention is the heart. You don't need to verbalize it. You don't need to say, I am now intending to carry out my wudu. You don't need to speak about it, because the niyyah sits in the heart. This is where resolve is born, from here. And then you take out your siwak, a sunnah that, beginning with myself, and a lot of us are falling short towards, the stick which the Prophet ﷺ would use to brush his mouth, brush his teeth, not just before salah, but before wudu. And that is why Bukhari narrates, ta'liqan, that the Prophet ﷺ said, لَوْلَا أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي لَأَمَرْتُهُمْ بِالسِّوَاكِ عَنْدَ كُلِّ وُضُوء. If it wasn't for the fear that I had, that I would cause hardship upon the Muslims, I would have instructed them to do siwak, to brush their teeth with siwak before every wudu. That is because, my brother, my sister, you're about to communicate with your Lord. You're about to recite Quran. You're going to be in the presence of angels, and they will be near you. And so the mouth should be pure. And that is why our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even before he passed away, he managed to signal with his eyes and with his weak head movements as he passed away that somebody hand me a siwak. And they gave him a siwak, and with the help of our mother Aisha, he brushed his teeth and he brushed and cleansed his mouth, which is already pure and blessed, alayhi salatu wasalam, in preparation for his meeting with Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. So you intend the wudu, number one. Number two, you brush your teeth with the siwak if you can, number two. Number three, you say Bismillah, in the name of Allah. If you are in the bathroom, don't say it verbally, say it into your heart, or say it before you come into the bathroom. Bismillah. And then you wash your hands three times, up to and including your wrists. Your hand, your left, your right, beginning with your right, three times each, as you know. And then you will wash your mouth and your nose, right? You will wash your mouth and your nose. You will use your right hand and you will bring the water into your mouth. And at the same time with your right hand, you will bring water into your nose. If you can, this is an ideal way of doing it, but there are different ways. With one handful, you bring the water into your mouth and up into your nose and you sniff it until it reaches the upper part of your nose if you can. And then using your left hand, you will blow your nose, because the right hand is for the athar, the pure things, and the left hand is for the aqdar, the impure things. So you bring the water into your mouth and nose using your right hand, and then you will bring out the water using your left hand, and you will swirl the water in your mouth three times, and you will do that for your mouth and for your nose three times. وَبَالِغْ بِالْإِسْتِنْشَاقِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ صَائِمًا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, exaggerate in bringing up the water, in sniffing up the water to the upper part of your nostrils when cleaning your nose, except if you are in a state of siyam, because then you may swallow it. Then after you finish that, you will wash your face three times. What are the parameters of the face that need to be included in water? Lengthwise, it starts from around here, مِنْ مَدَابِتِ شَعْرِ الرَّأْسِ الْمُعْتَادَ. From the area where hair usually starts from. So in the case where if your hair is receding, or some people's hairline is quite further back, you don't need to include your face from here. No, the normal place where hair starts, from around here. Right? So it starts from here, and then it drops all the way to the bottom of your chin, bottom of your jaw. Lengthwise. And then widthwise is from ear to ear. So all of this area here is called al-wajh. لِمَّا يَحْصُلُ بِهِ الْمُقَابَلَةِ. This is what you meet people with, al-wajh, because you meet people with it. All of that needs to be included in the washing, including the recesses of your eyes and all of the other parts. All of it needs to be included in the washing. And then you do that three times. And for those brothers who have beards, inshallah, all of our brothers will have beards, right? Unless there is a condition. Subhanallah, this is the qadr of Allah, but the blade and the shaving and the machine, this is not a condition. Brothers should have beards. So if the beard is thick, you pass your wet hand over your beard as you are washing your face, and then you bring your fingers that are wet and you pass it through to the roots of your hair. This is called takhlil. And as for those who have beards but are quite thin, This is again the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have thinner beards. In that case, they need to wash the inside and the outside of their beard. Then you need to wash your arms, your right arm first. And here is the thing. You need to begin from the fingertip of your arm and bring it down to your elbow and including your elbow. This is a common mistake a lot of people make in wudu. That when they start their wudu, they start here with their wrists. And they start doing this. And then number two. And then number three. And this part here, their palm is dry. This is a huge error. The washing of the marafiq, or the adi, the hands until the marafiq, the elbow, it starts from your nails, your fingertips, up to and including your elbows. Three times to your right, and then three times to your left. And then with fresh water, you will put your fingers together and you will start fi muqaddam ar-ra's, inda muqaddam ar-ra's, the beginning of this part of your head, and you will wipe your hair back until you get to the nape of your neck, and then you would bring it forward again. And as for our sisters who have longer hair, they don't need to pass a wet hand over their entire hair. They just need to bring it from the front to the nape and back, and they are finished as well. And then you will put your index fingers into your ears and you will wash them. And using your thumb, you will rub the outside part of your ears to clean that as well. And then you will wash your feet. Three times each, beginning with the right, up to and including your ankles. وَيْلٌ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, woe to the ankles from the hellfire. Woe to the ankles from the hellfire. And he said this when he saw some of the companions washing their feet, but they had not submerged their foot with water, i.e. there were parts of their feet that were left dry. He said, woe to the ankles from the hellfire. And your toes should be included in the washing there as well. I say all of this, brothers and sisters, whilst adding a caveat, a very important disclaimer here. Beware of waswasa. Beware of falling into a problem of obsessive compulsive disorder, an OCD type of behavior, where you begin to wash your arms and your mouth and your head twice and thrice and 10 times. We had one sister recently who came to us with a case, and she said, help me, because my salah and my wudu takes on average 6 hours a day, and it's causing problems between me and my husband now. 6 hours a day. Each salah takes on average an hour and 20 minutes. Because shaitan terrorizes people. And the specific term for this in English is the OCD of scrupulosity. We say it is al-wiswas al-qahri in Arabic. And I was thinking about dedicating a section for this here in this lecture, but I thought it's so important, it needs an entire, perhaps a dawra, a course, all on its own. We will do this inshallah in the coming weeks or months inshallah. Then you've completed your wudu, and here you are to say a dua. Muslim narrates on the authority of Umar that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, مَا مِنْ رَجُلٍ يَتَوَضَّأُ مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ يَتَوَضَّأُ فَيُحْسِنُ الْوُضُوءُ ثُمَّ يَقُولُ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَّا فُتِحَتْ لَهُ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ الثَّمَانِيَةِ يَدْخُلُ مِنْ أَيِّهَا شَاءَ. He said, any person who carries out the wudu and perfects it, and then says after the wudu, I testify that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the 8 gates of paradise will open up for him on the day of judgment, and he will be given permission to enter through any one of them he wishes. La ilaha illallah. Such a simple act. And look at the opportunity. These are the things we are to remember when we are doing our wudu. Remember this dua I shared with you. The shahada, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. In the other edition, which At-Tirmidhi mentions in his Jami', the addition of the dua, Allahumma ja'alni min at-tawabin wa ja'alni min al-mutatahirin. Oh Allah, make me from those who turn to you in repentance and make me of those who purify themselves. An amazing opportunity, la ilaha illallah. Why would we miss out on that? And Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, whoever finishes his wudu and he says the following dua, Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik, I glorify you, O Allah, and I praise you. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. I testify that there is no God but you. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I turn to you in repentance and I ask for your forgiveness. What happens? Kutiba dhalika fi riqqin. Those statements will be written in a book. Thumma tubi'a bitabi'. Then it will be sealed with a seal. Falam yuksar ila yawm al-qiyamah. And that book will not be broken and the seal will not be opened till the day of judgment. So it's a reward that has been deferred for the day of judgment to surprise you and make you happy on a day when you need happy surprises and comfort. Memorize this. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk after your wudu. So there are multiple opportunities. These are the things to think about when you are doing your wudu. It's not just about making the salah permissible. And one of the amazing aspects of wudu is that you can describe wudu as being your ID for the day of judgment. For the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to recognize you with. You haven't met him, you've heard about him. So you've loved him, you've believed in him, you've dedicated your life to his sunnah. And he will recognize you on the day of judgment. But how, since he's never met you? It's through your wudu. And that is why in the Sahih, on the authority of Abu Huraira, our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam once visited the graveyard. And he said, As-salamu alaykum dara qawmin mu'mineen. As-salamu alaykum, O dwellers of the earth, O righteous people. Wa inna insha'allahu bikum lahiqoon. Very soon, we're going to follow you and die. Very soon we're going to join you. La ilaha illallah. Inna insha'allahu bikum lahiqoon. God willing, we shall soon follow you. And then he said, Wadidna anna qad ra'ayna ikhwanana. Oh, I wish that I had met my brothers. And so the companions, they asked a valid question. Awalasna ikhwanak ya Rasulullah. Are we not your brothers, O Messenger of Allah? He said, Antum ashabi. No, you're my companions. وَإِخْوَانُنَا الَّذِينَ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بَعْدُ. But my brothers are those who haven't come yet. That's you, inshallah, and that's me. We hope that's us. We are his brothers who have not come yet. That was at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. I haven't met them. These are my brothers. So they said to him, وَكَيْفَ تَعْرِفُ مَنْ لَمْ يَأْتِ بَعْدُ مِنْ أُمَّتِكَ. How will you recognize, O Messenger of Allah, those people who come after you? How will you recognize them on the Day of Judgment? Valid question number two. And then he said to them, أَرَأَيْتَ لَوْ أَنَّ رَجُلًا لَهُ خَيْلٌ غُرٌ مُحَجَّلَةٌ بَيْنَ ظَهْرَيْ خَيْلٍ بُهْمٍ دُهْمٍ أَلَا يَعْرِفُ خَيْلَهُمْ. He said, if a man owned a group of horses that had white marks on their foreheads and white feet, and these horses were found in a crowd of another group of horses that were completely black, would he not recognize his own? They said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. He said, likewise, إِنَّ أُمَّتِي يَأْتُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ غُرًّا مُحَجَّلِينَ مِنْ أَثَرِ الْوُضُوءِ. Likewise, the people from my nation, they will come on the Day of Judgment with light emanating from their faces and emanating from their limbs because of the effects of wudu. Ajeeb, la ilaha illallah. So this is your ID. Don't rush to come out of your wudu and to carry out a no-frills version, a takeaway type of wudu. No, take your time. Don't waste water. But at the same time, enjoy the experience and think about you're building a case to be recognized by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam as you submerge your limbs with water for wudu. And what I find even more amazing about wudu is that not only does it cleanse you of your physical impurities, it cleanses you from the spiritual ones as well. It cleanses you from those sins that you committed with every one of your limbs. Miraculous. And in a beautiful hadith, which Muslim narrates on the authority of Abu Huraira, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, think about this, and some of you will hear this hadith perhaps for the first time. He said, إِذَا تَوَضَّأَ الْعَبْدُ الْمُسْلِمُ أَوِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. When a believer does the wudu, what happens? فَغَسَلَ وَجْهَهُ خَرَجَتْ مِنْ عَيْنَيْهِ كُلُّ خَطِيئَةٍ نَظَرَ إِلَيْهَا بِعَيْنَيْهِ مَعَ الْمَاءِ أَوْ مَعَ آخِرِ قَطْرِ الْمَاءِ. and you begin to wash your face in wudu, he said every one of the sins that you'd committed with your eyes will fall out with the water until the very last drop. He said, فَإِذَا غَسَلَ يَدَيْهِ خَرَجَ مِنْ يَدَيْهِ كُلُّ خَطِيئَةٍ بَطَشَتْهَا يَدَاهُ مَعَ الْمَاءِ أَوْ مَعَ آخِرِ قَطْرِ الْمَاءِ. And therefore, when you move on to your arms and you wash them, every sin that you had committed with your hands, they fall off with the water until the last drop of water. He said, فَإِذَا غَسَلَ رِجْلَيْهِ خَرَجَ مِنْ رِجْلَيْهِ كُلُّ خَطِيئَةٍ مَشَتْهَا رِجْلَاهُ مَعَ الْمَاءِ أَوْ مَعَ آخِرِ قَطْرِ الْمَاءِ. And then when you wash your feet, every sin you'd committed with your feet, places you'd walk towards, they fall out, they come out with the water or until the last drop of water. The hadith says, حَتَّى يَخْرُجَ نَقِيًّا مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ, till you come out of your wudu completely cleansed from all sin. La ilaha illallah. How generous is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we know a lot of our brothers whom the moment they carry out a sin, the first thing they do is they go to the bathroom and they do their wudu. And they look into that water and they realize that this is their sins Allah is taking away from them. It's an experience. Yaqeen, certainty. When you therefore turn on the tap and you begin your wudu, bring all of your sins to the table. Picture them all. Don't leave any behind. Those sins that you'd extended a lustful gaze to, though your eyes should have been lowered, thinking that no eye can see you, and you forgot temporarily about the eye of Allah Jalla Jalla. That moment, bring it, bring that sin to the table. And that moment when you put on your headphones and you played a track that you know will devastate your dunya, will devastate your akhirah, will break down your iman, will cause you suffering as you die, it will tighten the grave, will give darkness on yawm al-qiyamah. The moment you did that, bring that to the table as well. And then every conversation, clandestine, under the table type of conversation that you had with him or with her, which may have led to exchange of photos, which may have led to a meeting, which may have led to more, bring that to the table. And as you carry out your wudu, feel the sins emerging even from beneath your nails, as some of the narrations suggest. Subhanallah. Allah is Kareem. So do you see how many miraculous dimensions and exciting aspects there are to wudu? Bring all of this to the table as you are purifying yourself. And as Ibn al-Qayyim, he says, just before we move on, the same way that you cannot enter upon Allah Almighty in Jannah until you are first purified from sins, likewise, in the life of this world, you cannot enter upon Allah in Salah till you are first purified through wudu. Wudu is the introduction before entering upon Al-Malik, the Sovereign Allah Jalla Jalaluhu.